Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a concrete echo-style jungle re-space patch in Ableton Live 12, and then we're going to do the part that separates a cool sound from a real record idea. We're going to pitch it musically, arrange it with intent, and make it behave like it belongs in a dark, rolling DNB drop. And right away, I want you thinking about this the right way. The race is not the star lead. It's a moving texture. It's the storm under the break. The sub is the weight. The arrangement is what makes the whole thing feel like a tune instead of a loop. So let's build the system. First, create a new MIDI track and load Waveedable for the main resource. Start simple and harmonically rich. Use two saw-based oscillators, or one saw and one brighter Waveedable if you want a little more character. Keep the detune modest, somewhere around 8 to 18 cents. That's enough motion to get the classic Reese tension without turning the whole thing into a smeared supersaw mess. For unison, stay conservative. 2 to 4 voices is usually the sweet spot here. If you crank it way up, the sound can get wide in a way that feels impressive soloed, but weak and blurry in a full drum and bass context. And that's the trap. In this style, clarity is heaviness. Now, if you want a bit more movement between the oscillators, offset them slightly. You can nudge fine-tune, or even move one oscillator an octave up or down depending on how aggressive you want the texture to feel. The goal is not a huge EDM wall of sound. The goal is a dark, unstable midrange that can speak with the drums. Next comes the shaping chain. This is where the patch really becomes usable. After Waveedable, add auto filter, then saturator, then EQ8, then roar or overdrive if you want extra edge, then utility. You can add compression later if the patch needs more control. Start with the filter. A low pass or band pass works well here, depending on how hidden you want the bass to feel. For a more concrete echo-style tone, I'd start fairly dark, maybe with the cutoff somewhere in the 120 to 300 Hz zone, and then open it only when the arrangement needs more pressure. This keeps the sound brooding rather than flashy. Then hit it with gentle saturation. We are not trying to destroy the sound. We're trying to bring out the harmonic so the bass reads on smaller systems and cuts through the break. A drive of about 2 to 6 dB is often enough. If you use soft clip, keep an ear on the top end so it doesn't get spitty. Now EQ8. This is where you clean up the murk. If the Reese blooms too much, cut some of the muddy low mid buildup around 200 to 450 Hz. If it starts to bite too hard, tame the harsh zone around 2.5 to 5 kHz. That region can give you aggression, but it can also become the point where the bass starts fighting the snare and the hats. Then utility. This is your stereo discipline checkpoint. The sub will be separate, so the Reese can have some width in the mids, but don't let it get sloppy. If the patch feels too wide or facey, reduce width, simplify the unison, and let movement come from modulation instead of stereo tricks. Now create a second MIDI track for the sub. Keep this one dead simple. Operator is perfect for this. Load a sine wave, set it to mono, and keep glide minimal unless you specifically want those old-school jungle slides. The sub should follow the root notes exactly. Don't let the Reese's movement decide where the sub goes. That's a great way to lose control of the low end. This separation matters a lot. The Reese is your character. The sub is your foundation. When they're split, you can mix them properly, sidechain them properly, and automate them without the whole bass collapsing into one overworked sound. Now let's write the bassline itself. And this is where a lot of producers accidentally think too much like synth programmers and not enough like drum programmers. Don't write a bass pad phrase. Write a rhythmic part. Think call and response with the break. Think phrase logic. Think about where the snare lands and where the bass should get out of the way. Start with an 8-bar MIDI loop. Put root notes on strong points, but don't overcommit. Let some of the bass hits land on the offbeats. Leave rests. Those empty spaces are not dead air. They're a groove. In jungle and rollers especially, the silence before the bass answer can hit harder than another note. If you're in F minor, for example, you might anchor the sub on F1 or F0, while the Reese layer plays F2, Eb2, C2, and maybe a GB2 as a tension move. That semitone from F to GB is classic dark pressure. It makes the phrase feel slightly unstable in a really useful way. A good starting shape could be this. Bar 1. A root note pulse. Bar 2. A gap and a pickup. Bar 3. A lower tension note. Bar 4. A longer root note that settles the phrase. Then repeat the logic with variation. That way the bass feels like it's answering the drums, not sitting on top of them. Now for pitch, which in this style is less about melody and more about menace. Use small pitch moves as punctuation. A one semitone drop can give you a great dark slide into the end of a phrase. A 2-5 semitone rise can create a quick lift before the drop resets. Bigger octave jumps are best used sparingly, usually for switch-ups or the last bar of a section. In Ableton Live 12, you can do this a few ways. You can simply change the MIDI note itself for clean tonal movement. You can automate clip parameters like transpose. And you can duplicate clips at different octaves when you want a clear arrangement change without messing up the original idea. My advice is this: keep most of your pitch movement within plus or minus 1-3 semitones. Use bigger jumps only at transitions. That keeps the bass threatening, but still dancefloor readable. Indeed NB. Tension works best when it resolves quickly. Now add modulation, but keep it disciplined. In Waveitable, assign an LFO to the filter cutoff. Try synced rates like 1/8 or 1/16, or dotted values if you want a slightly more skidding feel. Keep the depth subtle at first. If you make every element move at once, the bass starts to feel chaotic instead of alive. That's a really important point. Think in layers of motion. One layer can handle pitch content. Another can handle filter movement. A third can handle arrangement contrast. If all three are changing constantly, the listener stops feeling intent and just hears noise. So stagger your movement. Let one thing change at a time whenever you can. Now, once the patch feels good, print it. This is where the advanced workflow really opens up. Resample the reese into audio. Don't be afraid to commit. In fact, a lot of the best drum and bass-based design becomes easier once you stop treating it like an endless MIDI experiment and start arranging the audio. Route the bass to a resample track, or export the loop. Then consolidate the best takes. Slice around the key hits. You can make reverse tails, chopped endings, and little phrase edits that are much easier to manage in audio than in MIDI. This is especially useful in jungle-style writing, where clipped note endings and weird little transitions can make the whole drop feel more alive. Now arrange the bass across a full drop. Here's a strong framework. Bars 1-4 establish the main motif. Leave space for the snare and break accents. Bars 5-8 add a little more urgency, maybe with a variation or a pitch rise. Bars 9-12 strip something back, maybe a slightly thinner reese or a ghost bass moment, where the sub drops out for one hit. Then bars 13-16 give you the switch up. Octave movement, a filter opening, or a more active rhythmic pattern. That's the classic tension arc. It keeps the drop from feeling like one static loop. You can also use little arrangement tricks to make the bass feel like it's evolving without losing identity. Chop the last note of a phrase into 2 or 3 smaller hits. Move one answer note into a higher octave for a single bar. Duplicate the MIDI and add a very quiet fifth or octave above on just select bars. Shift one note a 16th later to create a slight push-pull feel. These details are small, but they add up fast. And don't forget the drums. Bass and drums are one system. If your break is busy, simplify the bass. If the drums open up, let the reese breathe more. Use sidechain compression if needed, especially from the kick or kick snare group, so the bass pocket stays clean. Also keep an eye on the snare's body around 180 to 250 Hz. That's a common clash zone. If the bass sounds huge, solid but weak in the track, the problem is usually not volume, it's phrasing. The phrase is too constant, so the drums don't get to speak. Shorten the notes. Add rests. Pull back the mid-range activity around the snare hits. Give the track room to breathe. A quick mono check is non-negotiable here. Collapse the mix to mono and listen carefully. If the reese disappears, gets hollow, or loses its impact, reduce the width. Simplify the unison and strengthen the separation between sub and mid layer. The low end has to survive outside the studio. So here's the mindset I want you to take from this lesson. Build the reese as a controlled moving texture, keep the sub separate and disciplined, write the bass like a rhythmic drum part, and use pitch and arrangement as tension tools, not as constant decoration. If you want a quick practice run, choose F minor, G minor, or E minor. Program an 8-bar bass phrase with one root anchor, one semitone tension note, one octave variation, and at least 2 rests. Build the reese in Waveitable, process it with auto filter, saturator, and EQ8. Make the sub on a separate track with operator. Then create 2 versions, one restrained roller version, and one more aggressive switch-up with a pitch lift. Resample both, and compare which one feels more like Concrete Echo when it's sitting over a breakbeat loop. That's the move. Build clean. Shape with intent. Arrange like the drums matter. And when that reese starts breathing with the break instead of fighting it, that's when the whole tune starts to feel real.